Hello, everybody. My name is Quinn Tempest. Thank you so much for tuning back into the Create Your Purpose interview series. Today, I'm going to be chatting with Karen Ozeri. She is a professional career and life coach. We just actually finished a project together where we did her new branding and web design. So I'm so excited to chat with her today about how she's infused purpose into her business and the work that she does with her clients. So thank you so much for being here, Karen. I'm excited to chat with you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm excited to dive into the topics we're going to cover today.
Awesome. Well, will you tell everyone that's watching or listening, wherever they are, a little bit about you, your story, kind of where you came from professionally, and then how you ended up becoming this purpose-driven entrepreneur that you are today?
Sure. Well, like everyone, I think my journey had lots of windy turns in it, but my journey into what I do now really started, well, honestly, I would probably say it started in college to some degree when I was actually talking about this with some friends last night of really having no sense of what I wanted to do with my life and really feeling like I kind of had to pick at that time in college. And I ended up picking a communications and a political science major, and I ended up in a radio ad sales job right out of college, which kind of aligned with that communications focus. And the very first day I started in that job, I realized I had made a mistake and that it was not for me. And that really stayed with me for almost 15 years to follow. So I really just felt confused over the course of my career around in digital marketing and advertising and later ad technology and sales. But I was just kind of like taking the next step, but with no real clear reason for it, just kind of following along with what I should do more than anything. And the real pivot for me came, a big aha moment. Well, I don't even know if I had the big aha at this moment, but in 2014, I was the top global salesperson for an advertising, a mobile technology company. And I had had a rough quarter, the first rough quarter that I had ever had. And I decided I was going to look for a new job. And I was being recruited by all sorts of different companies. And up until that point, I hadn't been interested. So I ended up taking a job, and I could feel inside of my own body that I wasn't psyched about that job. I was just kind of doing it because I felt like I needed to be doing something new. And meanwhile, I was leaving the other job simply because I just didn't really want to be there anymore. So I was really stuck. And 3 weeks after accepting that new job, I was at a workout class and I was sprinting uphill on a treadmill, and I tore my groin muscle and fractured my pelvis and tore my hamstring too, all in one swoop while sprinting in this class. And the interesting thing is I just kept going. I didn't even, like, my leg was, this is sort of graphic, but it was kind of like dangling, and I continued to run. Because to try and run, at least, because I was so conditioned to avoid what was real for me and to avoid my own pain and discomfort. And I didn't ask anyone for help. And in that moment, it was just representative of everything that I had gone through up until that point. So in hindsight, over a year later, I really came to understand that this was the universe's way of asking me to literally and figuratively stop running from my problems, which I did not do for the next year. So despite this really traumatic injury, I didn't pay attention. I didn't slow down at all. I just kept doing what I had been doing. And so over the course of the year, I had all of these situations occur, everything from bed bugs to carbon monoxide poisoning to slicing my foot open in a cab on a piece of metal to herniating a disc in my back. It was literally like the universe was like, just stop. And I kept going. So after a year of this, I had an epiphany when I really woke up one day. And one of the reasons that I had felt really stuck in my life was because everything was good on paper. I had a great job. I was making $500,000 a year. I lived in New York City. I had lots of friends. I traveled all the time. Like I had a good life. And I was at this a personal development, or what do you call it? A healing retreat. I can't think of the right word for it at this moment, but I had this awakening of understanding, like, this is all great, but it's still not good enough for me. And I ended up leaving my career. I had no plan, but I decided in that moment that I had had enough, and that I was more scared of things staying the same than I was of them changing. And so I returned from that trip. I went back to New York City. I left my job. I left my career. And I had had a coach. I had had a coach for over a year prior. And I had always been really interested in coaching. And rather than pursue that, I went off and explored all of this other stuff that was related to the healing from my injury, because I saw that as really pivotal in what allowed me to create this transformation. So anyway, long story short, after that sort of all fell away, I was talking with my coach one day about how all of these people had reached out to me and asked me about, you know, what had happened and why had I left this quote unquote successful career. Hundreds of people reached out to me to hear this story. And I was sharing with my coach that they didn't actually care about my story. What I was learning is that they just wanted to know how to do this thing themselves. And she said to me in that moment, because she knew I was curious about coaching, she said, "Karen, those are your clients." And it was this huge light bulb moment. And in that moment, and for many months to follow, I sort of looked back at my career, and I had seen that I had been coaching in various capacities throughout my entire, you know, tenure in corporate, but I hadn't known that coaching was an industry. I didn't know that it was a profession. So that was ultimately how I started in coaching. And that was, what was that? About 4 years ago. So it was a path of exploration and discovery and just taking steps and looking back at the path of my previous career, which all really served me well, particularly sales, as I got into coaching. So I don't know if that answers your question of kind of where I came from and how I got into what I'm doing now. But my passion now is really about supporting people with trusting this instinct they have, that they want to do something different and that there's more to their life and that they want to do something more meaningful and fulfilling. So that's really like my passion now, and my purpose is supporting people with really trusting that and starting to take steps to explore what that might be for them, bringing an idea that they already have to life, and just like learning how to trust the process and see the signs. And my training is in spiritual psychology, so a lot of it has to do with learning to see that things happen for you and not to you. Much like, you know, I can now look at that injury, which felt like the worst thing ever at the time, and really see it now. I can see it now as a pivotal moment that had a lot of meaning for me. So that's what I do now. And that is, my purpose is really rooted in that confusion and that desire to wanting to be doing something that was really giving back to the world in a more meaningful way.
Yeah. And, you know, I resonate so much with your story personally, especially when you paint that kind of awful picture of the moment on a treadmill where your body kind of knew what to do to stop you in order to wake you up, even though it took a while after that to finally get to that true epiphany that built the clarity. I think I resonated so much with that because I had a very similar situation where I had ended up in the hospital, but even that didn't wake me up. It was a little moment, maybe a year later, when I was biking and I fell, hit my knee really hard, blood everywhere, but I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel adrenaline. I didn't feel emotion. I just suddenly knew that I was empty and that was not how I wanted to live. So I often think it's interesting that our body seems to know that before our mind knows it. And it seems like what you're really good at and what I'd love to hear more about is connecting those dots, is looking at those little clues that our life brings us or that we create in our life? And kind of how do you do that with your clients? Like, how do you work with them to identify and clear up the confusion? And then what's kind of like the after result for them? What do you help them do? Do you help them get a new job, or do you help them transition an existing career? Kind of what's your process like working with your clients within your specific and unique purpose?
Yeah, well, you had a few questions in there, so I'll have to remember. I may have to have you ask some of them again. But I mean, my process is really deeply individualized to the person. And it's really just about supporting people with like taking the next step. And I know this is something that you agree on, that like action is actually what creates clarity. Like the thing that I really work on with my clients is not waiting until you have the answers before you take action. So it's about supporting them with taking small steps over time, which will create massive change. And in terms of connecting the dots, I mean, a lot of it is like, I think the thing that's so interesting with all of my clients is that they all, as much as they think that they don't, they all have been drawn, they're all drawn to something. It's just the degree in which, like, how buried it is in their consciousness. So like some people will come to me and say, I have no idea what I want to do next. And when I approach it from perhaps a different angle and ask the question slightly differently, all of a sudden there's this thing that they've always been curious about, but they've put it in a box over, you know, like in a trunk in their garage, like where they can't see it. And then it's sometimes just about like inviting that in and reconnecting them to what it is that inspired them about that or what they enjoy about that, and reconnecting them with that energy before necessarily reconnecting them even with that idea. But there was something else I was going to mention on this topic. The other thing is like in learning through, like when you look at life through, particularly what I look through, which is a spiritual lens. And when you start to see that things have happened for you and not to you, oftentimes your greatest challenges are linked with the purpose that you can create for yourself. And you know, one of my coaches often talks about this idea that your blocks are not in the way, they are the way. And that can be true of challenges too, and any perceived blocks that you might have. So it's really about supporting someone with slowing down and like evaluating what's occurring or what occurred in the past that could support them with leaning in more towards something that would give them greater fulfillment and purpose. That felt like a really vague answer. So reflect to me.
I seem to see this common trait in purpose-driven entrepreneurs of having the capacity to look backwards at key experiences, be positive or negative, and learn from that and use that as a way to gain clarity on the next steps. You know, for me, I had that awful experience back in LA where I was in the hospital, I was sick, but that has been one of the most fulfilling experiences in the long run, because it has informed now what I do with my purpose to help people not go to that place, to help people bring their ideas to life so that they feel fulfilled and empowered. So it sounds like that's almost what you do, is you facilitate or you help people look at that. And I love that you kind of say it's more about your curiosity. Like, what have you always been curious about? And can that inform what your next steps are?
Yeah, like following your curiosity and following what's fun is a huge principle of my work versus following what you think you should do. Those are key, because again, like it's inside your body. When you really slow down and learn to check in with, am I curious about this? Like, am I willing to take the next step? It's like, it's your body will know immediately if you're willing to lean in on something or if you like contract and kind of pull back because it's not something of interest. Like, for example, when I was, before I thought I might go into coaching, I was exploring things like rehabilitative Pilates and assisted stretching and yoga and all of these things. And as I explored each of those and I learned more about what each of those would entail in terms of training and, you know, the profession itself, I could sense, like, particularly when I realized that I would have to study anatomy and go into cadaver labs, like, I was immediately like, no, like, it was a hard no. It was a hard stop.
Yeah,
and your body, like, will literally lean in or lean out when there's something that you're curious or, like, completely averse to.
Yes.
So a lot of it, and I think to build upon something that I was saying earlier and something that you were just sharing, a lot of my work, because I work with typically very high achievers, very driven, very motivated people who've had lots of success in their life, it's about supporting them with slowing down and, like, starting to see that we use busyness often as a way to distract ourselves, especially when we don't feel connected to something more deeply. Busyness is a way of avoiding what's real for us often, not always, but often. So a lot of my work, again, is in helping people slow down and tune in more deeply and, like, connect with that part of themselves that feel that they've kind of abandoned or shut down because they just don't know what to do with it. So whether it's slowing down physically and literally or, like, mentally and spiritually, it can be either or all.
And you mentioned this idea of what we should do, and I know you always use the air quotes with it, because it's a belief that is often instilled in us in a young age. And as you shared in your story, the should really drove a lot of your decisions for a decade or longer. And I know the should has taken me many places. And so I kind of wanted to explore that with you, because I know in my recent new email series I've been doing, Postcards on Purpose, I think it was my very first topic actually, was about letting ideas die and having an idea that might come up that might be so exciting for you for a brief time, and then understanding after a while that either it was a should or it was a could. Like, there was a lot of potential, there's a lot of possibility, and you were almost excited about that more than the idea itself. And so you had responded to that first email saying, oh my gosh, I resonate with this so much. I think I had shared, you know, I had this idea for a travel magazine, and I was like, oh, it was actually not about the idea. It was about building something that was meaningful to me that I could call my own. So yeah. Could you share about the idea you talked to me about that you had been so excited about for so long, but inevitably you learned that you had to let it go?
Yeah, I sure can. So, and actually something that was present for me when you were talking about the should, because you've heard me talk about that before. But one of my favorite sayings is to stop shoulding all over yourself. And and that feels like a little not PC, but anyway.
Oh, this is not a PC interview series, so.
I hear you. And it's that, like, when that came into my awareness, I honestly don't remember who said that to me the first time, but I started to notice how much should comes up in our day-to-day vernacular, and, like, should and need versus choose and want. So I just share that because I think that really it got my attention. Stop shoulding all over yourself. And so if it serves anyone else with recognizing how much they're in should versus doing things that they really want to do that feel in alignment, you know, I just wanted to share that. So in terms of an idea that I started and ultimately let go, so it's worth mentioning that in the past, I was atheist. I had no consciousness of, and no interest really in identifying with anything that was bigger than me. So I really just, like, prayed to, you know, money. That was a lot of what I prayed to for a long time, which is great. It really served me in this path. And as I was leaning into and really getting more comfortable with this spiritual side of myself, I mean, my training is spiritual psychology, and yet there was this part of me that didn't really know what to do with that because it was such a new part of my identity. But as I started leaning into that and noticing that a lot of my clients were really interested in, like, the spiritual teachings and context of what we would be talking about in sessions, I started to get really, really, really into this idea of creating a community for people who identified as spiritual but not religious. And I also started to see that with all of my friends, not all, but a chunk of my friends, as they were having children, they were starting to really question, do I want to raise my children in the same way that I had been raised myself? And they're all, they love this like spiritual context, but there's no real clear community for that in a lot of senses. We have a lot of the, you know, there are churches and there are synagogues and there are mosques and places like that. And then there is yoga and coaching and there's nothing really in the middle. There are some, but not a lot. So I started getting really amped up about creating that community and really saw it as I leaned into it more and more, saw it as like a national thing, not just specific to Arizona, where both you and I live. So, where I lived before I started traveling full time. But this was an idea that I had that I literally paid my coach a large sum of money to start working on this idea. And I actually developed my first group coaching program to support myself as I was moving through this process of leaning into this idea. Cause I wanted to support other people at the same time, kind of as I was going through it, to share my learning and experiences with that. So let's see here. What did I want to say further about this? So, well, I'm going to slow down and ask if you have a question for me, and if not, I can kind of keep going.
I'd love to kind of know where that idea took you, because it sounds like you didn't follow through with it. So
I did not.
Did that idea benefit what you did next in some way?
Totally. So when this idea came forward, I already had a full coaching practice. And when I sat down with my coach to really understand, like, how can I create this? And like, I've already gone down this path of coaching. Am I going to let that go? Like, what does that look like? You know, I was really feeling unclear about that, similarly to what we were talking about earlier. And I knew that I didn't want to let that stop me. So the very, very, very first part of the process was carving out time in my schedule so that I would have certain days of the week that I could dedicate towards exploring this and reading about it and watching videos and talking to people and reaching out and kind of networking with other people who, you know, whether it was people who'd created their own communities or just people who are kind of like spiritual leaders. So I was really clear, like, I need time for this. I can't explore any of this if there's no time. So what I started to do is I created a vision for what I wanted this to look like. And it ultimately looked like I would coach on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And I would have Tuesdays and Thursdays really dedicated towards experimenting and exploring this path. Now, that alone required so many steps in order to be able to shift my whole schedule. And, you know, it was like a 3 to 6 month window of time that I really needed to do that in a way that felt aligned and supportive for my clients, but rather than just telling them, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to switch this and we're going to do this. And, you know, it was really like kind of disruptive to my own rhythm, my day-to-day rhythm. So in making space for this idea, which I was super passionate about, and the more I shared it with people, the more people reflected to me, yes, this is something that's really needed. It's funny, one day I was talking to my coach about this very idea, and he goes, Karen, I don't really think that you're meant to do that. I just think what you're doing is creating space in your life for, like, for you and to explore this, you know, to explore these things that interest you, but this is part of you creating what you want in the world and, you know, your own lifestyle. And I was really
much about the idea. It was about you and you exploring these general concepts, not about turning it into something.
Totally.
I mean, I think it sounds very similar to what I hear from a lot of clients is that when you're an entrepreneur, you want to make every single idea a business. You know, you want to make every single thing you think about profitable and somehow encourage your bottom line to grow. And it sounds like you kind of reflected on that after a while, especially with feedback from your coach, and said, oh, it's actually not about making the community. It's about making more time for me to explore these ideas.
Well, and it was so funny too, because he wasn't the first person that suggested that. It was interesting, like potential people who could have been involved in the community or benefited from the community. Those were the people that were saying, do this, do this, do this. But all of the spiritual mentors and teachers and my coaches, many of whom have spiritual psychology background also, were really saying, you don't need to create a community that, like, you can, this is a function of your coaching.
Right.
And so yes, to your point, I thought I needed to go off and create this whole separate business. And really it was about leaning into this idea that my spirituality or the stuff that I wanted to communicate to people through this community-centered idea, it lives either way. It's not dead if I let go of this idea. And it was interesting, similarly to what we were talking about before, as I started to think about, like, oh my gosh, am I going to have to get real estate? And am I going to have to, like, get loans? And am I going to have to do all of this stuff? I started to feel that constriction of, I'm not sure that that is what I really want to do. What I really just want to experience is greater freedom in my own life and greater learning about these topics and feel more connected to other humans. So one of the teachings that Rich Litvin, who's an amazing coach, talks about this idea of the goal is the place to come from, not to get to, which I think when I read your postcard, I was like, yeah, that's exactly what you were talking about. You show up with the intention of creating from this place, like to create this thing. And when you do that, you release attachment from the form. And it doesn't matter whether you create that thing or not. It's all about, like, what are the journey ultimately.
That is
no more than a destination.
I'm going to have to get that quote, because I think that sums up what I wrote in 2000 words about a sentence. That makes so much sense. And I think for entrepreneurs, oftentimes we do need to go through the full process. We do need to ideate and create the form first in order to then see what the intention is and the purpose is behind it. Would you agree?
Totally. And it's so funny, in hindsight now, like, shortly after I kind of let that idea go, my husband and I started planning to travel full time for a year-ish, could be less, could be more. And everything that I had done to create space for that community, like, has served me in creating space in my life as we move into this journey. We're only about a month in. So it's funny, like, we can get so attached to the outcome, but really there was great service in me pursuing it. But it was never meant to be that community thing. And I still think about, candidly, I think about the community thing from time to time. And I wonder, will this come back when I myself have children and this is really, really important to me? And I don't know. But I just know that I'm so grateful to have pursued the, you know, how to create my schedule with more space in it, because as you go out and travel in the world, I certainly don't want to sit behind a computer or on my phone the whole time during that experience. So
yeah, and one of the things that you mentioned was kind of lost my train of thought here, but you mentioned something really good, and I can't quite remember what it was, but kind of that idea of the community coming back into your life in a different form. Mm-hmm. And I think that's interesting, especially with where you are in your business and brand building. I know you and I just completed a design project to create a new logo, brand identity, and website. And I know you were doing that in order to really put your message out there strategically with more purpose in order to attract the kind of people that you really want that to be part of your client base and your audience. And I think the natural next evolution in a lot of what you're doing is building the audience, cultivating the relationships, but then you have a perfect opportunity to then build a community out of those people. Totally. But until you had that foundation, until you had that message that was conveyed in the way that's beautifully done through what we did together, I'm not sure you were ready for it even, but maybe that could be the next evolution.
Yeah, it's a great reflection. And I'm sure that if I had really wanted to, I could have forced it, right? We can force things to happen, or we can go with the flow and trust that our path is usually a lot more like a meandering creek than it is, you know, I don't know what the opposite of that is, but something much more
railroad track.
Yeah. That's just not often how it is. Well, it can be for some people, but I find that the people that I work with are feeling really constricted and confined by that way of being. So giving yourself the grace of letting it be more fluid and seeing where it takes you, and still set goals, because that will support you in making the progress that you want to make. But now I just lost my train of thought. But anyway.
It's okay. It's around lunchtime. But I think you brought up the fact that you're about to set off on a year-long round-the-trip journey with your husband while also running a business. So could you speak a little to that decision and also what you did to get ready for that? You know, working with me, other things that you've been doing. And, you know, tell me about that journey and kind of A, why you decided to do this, and then B, how you've been getting ready.
I'm going to write this down. Why you decided to get ready, or why you decided and how we got ready.
Oh, yeah. Man.
How much time do you have? I'm just joking. So why we decided, I mean, honestly, why we decided to do it was because it was something that we had both always thought about. And I think I actually wrote about this the other day. One of the things that, you know, how people often ask you, it's kind of a morbid question, but what would you do if you knew you only had 6 months left to live? And my answer for my whole life has always been, in addition to some other things, but to see the world. And when my husband and I were engaged in determining what we wanted to do for our wedding, that in and of itself was a bit of a process for us. We both knew what we didn't want. We had no idea what we did want. And so we would just kind of throw out ideas often. And one day I turned to my husband, we were driving, and I just said, what if we use the money for our wedding and travel with it rather than have some big wedding and go on a short honeymoon and things like that? And it was the first time I saw his whole self just light up, like with total excitement. So really why we decided to do it again was just because we wanted to. And that's I have really had to learn how to be okay with that level of self-permission, because I think in the past I really looked for permission outside of me to do things, which led me down this path of doing things that were very logically that I should, rather than really checking in on, is this something I really want to do? So when we started to explore that, I mean, how we got ready, wow, that was... It was a process. Again, it was so many small steps taken over time. And I mean, we first started talking about it about a year before we actually got married, and we left almost a year after we got married. So one interesting takeaway with the process is, at first we tried to like create this huge list of all the things we needed to do. And that wasn't very fun. It wasn't very motivating for either of us. And as a result of that, we kind of procrastinated. And one of the things that happened along the way is we originally said we were going to leave in October. And that came so quickly. And we were like, we are not ready to do this yet. Mentally, spiritually, physically, on all levels. So we extended our lease. We had downsized a year earlier into a smaller place, and for lower rent, and knowing that we wanted to be renting so that we could just kind of walk away from something. So we extended it for a couple months into December. And when December came, or I think our lease was starting, it was ending at the end of December. And that too felt like a freight train was coming and we were not prepared. And it was interesting. One day I had this insight of, I think I missed something with our lease. And I went back and checked the paperwork and it had turned out that we had been required to give 60-day notice for the end of our lease, regardless of the fact that the lease was ending. And it really felt like a gift from above of someone just saying like, just slow down here. You don't need to meet some arbitrary deadline. You don't need to rush into this. So we ended up pushing it back again, another 3 months. And really every week we just consciously sat down together and talked about what it is that, you know, what was like the most immediate thing that needed to be done and started to kind of take the steps as they were necessary rather than take steps because we thought we should. Mm-hmm. And there was one other piece of this that was so profound for us.
Well, I know during that whole time we were working together to create that foundation for you digitally. I mean, was that a big piece too?
Yes. Thank you for that reminder. I mean, creating a website and like getting that part of my business settled, particularly because I wanted to be writing and sharing about this journey and this experience. And I didn't want to continue doing that on social media. I wanted it to be a little bit more cohesive and have everything in one place and easy to access. And I mean, you and I had talked about this in the past that I was also at a place in my business where I had had a ton of my business was built on invitation and referral. So I was getting a ton of word of mouth referrals, and they were also increasingly unqualified. So as I was thinking about how am I going to use my time when I'm traveling abroad, it became really clear that I didn't want to spend all of my time on calls with people that may or may not have been, that seemed largely like they were not a fit.
Right.
So creating the website was a huge step in terms of starting to like put myself out there and claim who it was that I worked with and really just claiming my time back to start to have more of a filter so that we could really enjoy that time abroad versus me feeling like I had to be on a call with everyone who reached out.
Yeah. And I really appreciate the process that you've been going through both on your own in your business and as a couple is you're setting the vision and you're setting the broad goals, but you're not getting caught up too much in the exact details of how it's going to happen. But you do prioritize kind of the large chunks that you need to kind of facilitate before you can take the jump. And it feels very healthy and it feels very, you know, strategic in a way and purposeful because you are running a business and you are doing it with purpose and intention. So you want to make sure that the environment you're going to be in for the next year is set up to succeed for you.
Yeah. And you mentioned something in there about vision. And I think, and that was actually one of the things that I was going to share, which my husband and I separately wrote, I call them ideal scenes, but we wrote out what we wanted our vision, like what was our vision for this year abroad. And we did it separately. And then we came together and we read them to one another and they were almost identical with the exception of one thing that he had included in his and I hadn't included in mine. And that was really powerful because it showed us, A, that we were on the same page and that we were in this together. And we also just had this broader vision. So it made the day-to-day steps a lot easier when you know what you're working towards. And had our visions been slightly different, it also would have given us the opportunity to like adjust and create greater alignment between the two of us before embarking on something that is this big, right? Which is, it's like that's relevant in any relationship, even if it's a coaching relationship, making sure that you and your coach are on the same page or you and your web designer are on the same page. Like, you know, one of the things that you did so beautifully in your process in developing my branding and website was you supported me in like, what's the broader vision for this? What are your goals with this? Why is this important to you? Why does this matter to you? Versus just, I need a website, right? Like, there was so much more depth and thought and like conscious attention put on the broader purpose of it.
Yeah. And I think, well, that's A, because of the type of people I work with, like you, you're purpose driven. And so it can't just be a slap together because it should really last you for many years. And secondly, it needs to have that depth. And it's why I don't do 30-day websites, you know, or 30-day brands, because this is about taking your inner life and all of your experiences. And you've told me many of these stories. I've read many of these stories before. And it's taking all of that and infusing that into a purposeful brand and a foundation that you can then build on. You know, you talked about being able to write about your stories and travels and all of that. Like, now you have the technical setup to do that. Yeah. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck at that point where, well, either they don't know their message, they don't know their purpose, or they don't have the building blocks to communicate it like you do. So I think that's why I've been so, you know, grateful to see what you've been doing and proud of it too, in a way, because you've done all the work to then set you up for this big goal of yours to travel the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's clarity in what, I don't want to say clarity in what you, like, there is value in having clarity with what you want at a broad level, but the rest of it, it's just like, once you have that, the small steps will show themselves to you. And it's so much easier to keep taking those steps, even when it's uncomfortable. As you remember with our process in developing my site, there were so many things where I was like confronted by, do I want it like this? Do I want it like that? But there's this willingness to keep going when you are clear on like the broader purpose of something and why you're doing it.
Absolutely. So as we kind of wrap up here, do you have, on that point about clarity and purpose, do you have any insights or advice for any purpose-driven entrepreneurs or aspiring purpose-driven entrepreneurs listening in on how they can really find or create their purpose and gain that clarity? Like, what would you tell a client in that situation?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I think for me in my own journey and what I see true for clients and peers and colleagues and all of those things is having support and having people or a person who can reflect things back to you. Mm-hmm. That is oftentimes the greatest way to get clarity, because when we live up here in our heads, we don't see things clearly. We don't hear things clearly. Our thoughts are kind of a jumble. They're a mess sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the number one like piece of advice, and I say advice because I don't often like to give advice. I'd rather have people guide people to find their own answers, but is really to have support, whether it's in the form of a coach or a therapist or a mentor or and particularly a community. A community can be the fastest way to accelerate your growth, because you're not only experiencing your own process and you're supported by people in that, but you're learning from everyone else going through similar things in their own way. And it's just, when I have been engaged in communities and supported by that, my growth has been exponential relative to just the one-on-one work. So
that is such an insightful gem, Karen, because I know it, for me personally, it's been something I have struggled with. I have been an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, for 8 years. I'm on my own 80% of the time. I'll get to a Friday night and sometimes forget how to have a conversation with people. And the biggest thing I've learned in the past 2 years or so is I can't do it all alone, especially for entrepreneurs who are really at a stage of growth and at a stage of transition and want to scale their business. You cannot do that without getting insights and reflection, as you said, from someone that can be objective. And I learned that. I recently hired a coach/consultant to help me shift my business model. So I'll do less one-on-one, a little bit more group coaching, scaled programs, and all of that. And it has been so enlightening to have someone talking about my business to me objectively. And that has helped me grow immensely as well. And then at one point, I even had two people on a Zoom call just like this, where they were talking about my business to each other. And I was sitting there listening and I was like, this is an absolute revolution. And I learned so much from it. So I think that is a great piece of advice to end with, because we often as entrepreneurs get stuck in our own heads, get stuck in our lonely little work home offices, and we don't reach out for help. So thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it's just about getting support to get out of your own way. And just to have someone who's cheering you on, like I vastly underestimated that at various points in my, particularly my past career, but just allowing yourself to receive that and allow yourself to just get out of your own way. I mean, it's just profound. It's uncomfortable at times hearing how you are getting in your own way. Then you have to take responsibility for that. But that's okay. That's part of the journey.
So. Yeah, but you can't get out of your own way until you know you're in your way. And oftentimes a third party is the person who can tell you that.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I think there are so many gems in here and I can't wait for people to tune in. Could you share how people can find you online? You know, do you prefer Instagram, website, anywhere online we can find you?
There's a couple different ways. I mean, obviously my beautiful website is a place to visit. So it's Karen Ozeri, OZERI.com. People can also email me at hello@KarenOzeri.com if they're interested just in learning more about working together. And yes, I'm on Instagram and Facebook under Karen Ozeri. So I can be found there too.
Awesome.
Especially more as we're traveling. So
yes, I can't wait to follow along with your wanderings. So thank you for coming, and thanks to everyone who tuned in, and hopefully you enjoyed this talk and many more to come.